TikTok than their right to vote anymore. That's ridiculous. So we've got to instill that pride once again. We've got to be able to bring that next generation along in this process and understand that it is important. And so the man you're about to meet is holistically about that. And if he wins the Iowa caucus, we are fully convinced. I think I just turned that the wrong way. We are fully convinced that he will win the general. He will take our country back. And that's what this is all about. This isn't about us. It's not about one person or one family. It's about every single one in this room. It's about our entire country getting back on track to what we truly believe and know this country can be holistically in the back end. This is someone you can trust. And I know that sounds crazy coming from a politician to tell you that, but this man is so much different than anyone you will meet in this process. And so when he comes in, be open-minded, be excited about taking your country back. Because the reality is there's going to be a shock to the system, and this is the man that is going to bring it to us. This is the man that's going to bring us to the brink of reality again. And a country that can have secure borders, a country that can have unity again. Even though we have differences, we've got to come together. And this is the man that's going to lead us exactly to that fact. To a country that we believe in and that we love in, and a man we can trust. Please welcome our next president, Vivek Ramaswamy.
It's good to see you guys. The water here. It's good. Good chance to have an open conversation. We don't do that enough in this country anymore. We have a culture of fear that is spread across this country like an epidemic. Fear of losing your job. Fear of your kids getting a bad grade in school. Fear of becoming an outcast in your own community. And that culture of fear has replaced our culture of free speech in the United States. If you want to ask me, what is the best measure of our country's health? What is it? Is it the number of green pieces of paper in our bank account? Is it the number of ballots we cast every November? No. The best measure of our country's health is the percentage of people who feel free to say what they actually think in public. Right now, we're doing poorly. And the only way we're going to fix it is by all of us starting to speak the truth in the open again. That's what we're doing today. Tell you a word about myself and my family. My parents came to this country 40 years ago with no money in search of opportunity. In a single generation, I have gone on to found multiple successful companies, multi-billion dollar companies. I did it while marrying my wife, Apoorva, who is a throat surgeon at Ohio State, where she takes care of cancer survivors. That's what she's doing today when she's not with us on the campaign trail. Raising our two sons. My older one's on that bus right behind us there. He's taking a nap. If he wakes up in time, my guess is he'll be running around by the end of this. He's 3 and a half. Our younger son's 1.5 years. Raising them in Ohio, following our faith in God. That is the American dream. And I'm worried that that American dream isn't going to exist for our two sons and their generation unless we step up and do something about it. And I'll get to the punchline of why I'm in this race. If you'd asked me 1.5 years ago, would I be running for U.S. president or be in this dirty sport of partisan politics, I would have said that that sounds worse than a sharp poke in the eye. And I stand by that in many ways based on what we see. It's the reason why good people don't go into this. But I'm in this for a reason. We saw the red wave that never came last year. Why? It's because I think we as a Republican Party, we have become lazy. I don't just mean lazy in terms of the get out the vote operations lazy. There's an element of that too. I mean it in a deeper sense. We have become lazy about standing for who we are, standing for something at all. The other side is very good at offering a vision. It's not the right vision, but they'll give it to you. Race. Gender, sexuality, climate. And we've gotten lazy just criticizing that vision, but without offering an actual vision of our own. What do we actually stand for? individual, family, nation, God. That beats race, gender, sexuality, and climate if we have the courage to actually stand for something. We can't just anymore be the party that's running from something. I'm in this race to lead us to start running to something, to our vision of what it means to be an American today. I like your sweater. It's in the spirit of what we're talking about. What does it mean to be an American today? To me, it means we believe in those 1776 ideals. Ideals like meritocracy and the pursuit of excellence. That you get ahead in this country, not on the color of your skin, but on the content of your character and your contributions. That's why I've said we will end affirmative action and racial quota systems in every area of American life. It's been a cancer on our national soul, and we are done with it. It means we believe in the rule of law. And I say this as the kid of legal immigrants to this country. That means your first act of entering this country cannot break the law. That is why I've said that we will use our own military to secure our own southern border and our northern border too. That's what it means to stand for the rule of law in the United States of America. It means that we, the people, create a government that is accountable to us, not the other way around. That the people who we elect to run the government ought to be the ones who actually run the government. Not the managerial bureaucracy in those three-letter agencies, the deep state, that runs the show today. You want to drain the swamp, here's how you do it. If I can't work for you for more than 8 years as your next president, then neither should those federal bureaucrats who are reporting into me either. 8-year term limits for the bureaucracy instead of civil service protections. That is how you drain the swamp. Don't just start with last year's budget as the baseline. Start with zero as the baseline and ask what's actually necessary. Shut down government agencies that should no longer exist. From the failed Bureau of Investigation, the FBI, to the ATF, to the CDC, to the U.S. Department of Education. We will get in there and actually shut them down. That's how you revive the integrity of a three-branch constitutional republic. 75% reduction in the number of federal bureaucrats by the end of my first term. That's how you drain the swamp. These aren't fantasy ideas. We've got a clear plan to implement this. I mean, let's take the FBI. A lot of people ask me about this one. Does that mean there's no federal law enforcement? No, far from it. The FBI is failing to enforce the laws we do have on the books, but using politicized justice to be able to go after political opponents. Here's what we were going to do. There's 35,000 employees at the FBI. 20,000 of them are back office employees at the J. Edgar Hoover building in Washington, D.C. They're going to go home and find honest work in the private sector. 15,000 of them are cops, agents on the front lines, good people. We will move them to the U.S. Marshals or to the DEA, which have been far more effective at fighting child sex trafficking rings or fentanyl in this country. To the Financial Crimes Enforcement Network, where they'll have more specialization to go after complex white-collar crime. The Department of Education, I said I would shut it down. That's a federal department that shouldn't exist. Does that mean I'm against education in this country? No. To the contrary, I believe that $80 billion should go to the pockets of parents who then get to choose where they send their kids to school, to the best possible schools they can. And the sliver that's devoted to vocational training, move that to the Department of Labor where it belongs. So these are very practical plans. 75% downsizing of the federal government by the end of my first term. But it takes a president with the spine to see this through. It takes elections we can trust and believe in to get there. Single day voting on election day as a national holiday with paper ballots, government issued voter ID to match the voter file. And yes, English as the sole language that appears on a ballot. This isn't controversial. It shouldn't be. This is common sense. These aren't black ideas or white ideas. These aren't even really Democrat ideas or Republican ideas. They shouldn't be. They are American ideals that we fought a revolution to secure in this country. And I believe deep in my heart that those ideals still exist. I'm running for president to revive them. It's on the back of our coins. You see it written on every coin, etched in there. E pluribus unum. It means from many, one. That's what we've lost in this country. We've grown to celebrate our diversity and our differences so much that we forgot all of the ways we are really just the same as Americans, bound by that common set of ideals that set this country into motion. I believe deep in my heart that those ideals still exist. I'm running for president to revive them. And here's how we're going to get it back. It's going to be by what I said at the very beginning. It's going to be by all of us, not just me. All of us. Starting to speak the truth in the open again. Say in public what you will say in private at the dinner table. Say it with a spine. Say it with conviction. Say it with respect. But part of respect is that you respect your neighbor enough to tell him what you actually think. That's what this campaign is about. Speaking the truth, not just when it's easy, but when it's hard. Speaking the truth, not just to the Democrats on the other side, but to our own party when necessary. That's what I've been doing on that debate stage. And it doesn't always make me popular with the Republican establishment. But I don't report to them. I report to you, the people of this country. If you want somebody who's going to get in there, shut down the deep state, and speak truth to power, then vote for somebody who's going to speak the truth to you. There's a reason why I'm the only person in this race who can even touch certain topics. That carbon dioxide capture pipeline that's making its way using eminent domain, seizing the land from farmers who don't want that pipeline built across their land. Not a single GOP candidate will touch it. I will, and I'll tell you, it's based on a climate change agenda that absolutely is a hoax because it has nothing to do with the climate. The only person in this race who could tell you that Ronna McDaniel should step down after five failed years of the GOP leadership chairwoman who has lost us in 2018, 2020, 2022, 2023. She said, I won't get another cent of funding from the RNC. That doesn't matter. Won't stop me from speaking the truth. The only candidate who will tell you with a hard commitment that I will pardon every peaceful protester from January 6th on my first day in office, because that's the right thing to do to restore one standard of the rule of law in this country. Ask yourself why I'm the only candidate who's able to even say these things to you. Here's the answer. Every politician dances to the tune of their biggest donor. It's a fact. And in my case, that biggest donor is me. I don't act out somebody else's wish as a circus monkey. I don't serve as a pawn on a chessboard. I would rather speak the truth and lose an election than to win by playing some political snakes and ladders. But I just think that is going to be the winning strategy. That's not up to me. That's up to you. The things I'm saying, they're controversial, not because they are false, but because they are true. That God is real. That there are two genders. Never thought I'd have to say that one. That fossil fuels are a requirement for human prosperity. That reverse racism is racism. That an open border is not a border. That parents determine the education of their children. That the nuclear family isn't a bad word. It's the greatest form of governance known to mankind. That capitalism, yes, is the still best system we have to lift us up from poverty. Not crony capitalism, but true capitalism, the real thing. That there are three branches of government in the United States, not four. And that the U.S. Constitution is the strongest and greatest guarantor of freedom in human history. That is the truth. We fight for the truth. We stand up for the truth. That is what won us the American Revolution. That is what reunited us after the Civil War. That is what won us two world wars and the Cold War. That is what still gives hope to the free world. And if we can revive that dream over group identity and victimhood and grievance, then nobody in the world, not a nation, not a corporation, not a virus, not China, is going to defeat us. That is what American exceptionalism is all about. And that is what we are going to revive to save this great country. Thank you for coming out today, guys. God bless you and your family and our country. I want to practice what we preach. Let's open this up. Let's have a conversation. I'm going to sit across the table from Xi Jinping. I'm better darn well be ready to sit across the table from hard questions from our own voters. And so give me the hard ones, and I'm looking forward to having an open conversation. Sir, let's start with you. Yeah, Yoni, I'll give you this mic.
So, talking about closing like the DEA and the FBI, but why not the CIA?
Yeah.
So, what I'm giving you isn't an exhaustive list. We're going one by, I mean, I haven't even named the ones we've already committed to. The Nuclear Regulatory Commission, we're actually going to shut down. It's hostile to nuclear energy in the United States. Food and Nutrition Services, it's FNS, it's in the middle of the Department of Agriculture. Total crony capitalism, big food is captured, it drives the dietary standards they're using in public schools. So we got a whole list, and even that is a non-exhaustive list. So I like that kind of question, right? But what I will tell you is 75% reduction in the number of federal bureaucrats. That's what we're doing by the end of my first term. I think we're going to get half of that done in the first month. How do you do that? Well, I'll tell you. I mean, I'm not saying it's exactly going to be this plan, but here's one way you could do it. If you're a federal bureaucrat, your social security number ends in an odd number, you're out. If it's an even number, you're in. Now, day two, I guarantee you, the federal government will be half its size, and not a thing is going to break. The sun will still rise in the east and set in the west. It's kind of like what Elon did at Twitter. It sometimes takes a quantum leap step to do it. But it's even one step deeper than that. It has to work something like that with a chainsaw, because here's what the law requires. They duped Trump on this. Trump wanted to drain the swamp, but what did they tell him? Well, you can't do that because of these so-called civil service protections. Read the law. Those civil service protections only apply to individual employee firings. They do not apply to mass layoffs. Mass firings are absolutely what I am bringing to the DC bureaucracy. That's what it's gonna take. And so in this moment we live in to get this job done, it's gonna take an outsider, somebody with sharp elbows coming in from the outside, willing to break glass when necessary. If you've seen some of the debates or otherwise, I haven't been afraid to do that in this campaign. I won't be afraid to do that in Washington, DC. Trump brings that too, to some extent. However, it's also gonna take an outsider, and this is what I think I bring along. Somebody who also understands the law and the Constitution of this country. And those two things don't go together usually. You might have the academic law professor type over here. You might have the business guy with sharp elbows over here. But we need both of those things in a president right now to see this through with conviction. And my faith teaches me God puts each of us here for a purpose. It is our duty to realize that purpose. That it's our duty to use the gifts that God has given us to do good in the short time we're given. And so that's what leads me to this race. That's what pulled me into this, and I think we're not going to stop until we get that job done. Thank you, man. I appreciate the question. It's the right kind of question I like to get. I brought up my faith. Is that something you all might be interested in hearing more about? The question about my faith is I get that sometimes in one-on-one conversation. So and my faith is what leads me, actually, to this journey. My faith is what gives me my freedom. I'm Hindu. A little bit different than the traditional Christian background of people who have run in the past. What I can tell you is that, and I can say this with conviction because I was educated in Christian schools, St. Xavier and Cincinnati, I can tell you that we share the same value set in common. I'll tell you about my faith. I alluded to it. The core tenet is that God puts us as one true God, and he puts us here for a purpose, and he works through us. He works through us in different ways, but we're still equal because God resides in each of us. That's the heart of my faith. And I had a very traditional upbringing. Some people call it traditional. I'd call it very traditional upbringing. My parents instilled that in us. I'm grateful to them now for it. Wasn't always through my teens, but taught us family is the foundation, that marriage is sacred, that it's between a man and a woman, that divorce isn't some option you just select off a menu of preferences when things don't go your way, that adultery is wrong, that abstinence before marriage is the way to go, that the good things in life involve a sacrifice. It's not just about this life, it's about eternal life. So anyway, when I get to St. Xavier at the age of 14, we read the Ten Commandments for the first time in Scriptures class. What do they say? There's one true God. Don't take his name in vain. Observe the Sabbath. Honor your parents. Don't kill. Don't lie. Don't cheat. Don't steal. Don't commit adultery. Don't covet. It didn't feel like I was reading these Ten Commandments for the first time. So those are, today it would seem like foreign values in America, but I don't think they have to be. Those are the Judeo-Christian values this nation was founded on. And am I going to stand for those values as your next president? You're darn right I am. My job is not to be the pastor. I swear an oath to the Constitution and I will keep it. Part of that oath is respecting religious liberty so pastors across this country can do what they need to do for this country and for the people who are lost in this country as well. But my job as president is to swear an oath to that Constitution and keep it, and to stand for and embody those values that our country was founded on. Anyway, we made it a little bit further in that ninth grade Scriptures class through the Old Testament to the book of Isaiah, a little further along. And that's a story of how God chose King Cyrus, all the way in Persia, a Gentile, to lead the Jews back to the promised land. That's a core teaching of my faith as well. That we don't get to choose who God works through. God chooses who God works through. But it's our job to do our part. And I believe it's my part to make sure that, especially as a young person, I'm 38 years old. I'm the youngest person ever to run for U.S. president as a Republican. And I believe it's my duty and my responsibility to make faith and patriotism and family and hard work cool again in this country, actually. I think they're cool. We raise our kids in that tradition, and I want to embody that for every kid in this country as well. And I think that we'll be stronger as a nation for it. And I wanted you all to know that. That's a big part of my faith and my conviction that leads me to this journey, that gives our family our sense of purpose, our sense of duty to see this through. And if you all put us there, we will stand for those shared values that made this country great in the first place. And so, you know, thank you for the opportunity to share that with you as well. Please.
Mm-hmm. How do you see your role in like restoring the things that you're talking about right now, just to the general, to the land?
Yes, exactly. This is where I think the job of the U.S. president is a little different than being a congressman or a senator, for example. There it's all 99% policy. That's what it matters. For the president, I think policy is half the job. And half the job, that's important too. Shutting down the Department of Education gets to the heart of this. I mean, the Department of Education is a department that today is using our taxpayer money, $80 billion of it, to tell local schools that they don't get that money unless they adopt these toxic racial and gender ideologies. Well, that's wrong. Cut off the head of the snake. There's a clear answer to a solution there. Much of what you see in the woke indoctrination, even in the private sector or otherwise, constitutes a violation of the law as it exists today. I think much of that meets the Supreme Court's test for what counts as a religion. I mean, the LGBTQIA, there's so many letters, they just put a little plus at the end. The same religion, that's what I'm going to call it, it's a cult, that tells you that the sex of the person you're attracted to is hardwired on the day you're born, that's for gay rights to be civil rights, is the same one that now says that your own biological sex is totally fluid over the course of your life. Can't believe both those things at the same time if you're operating according to logic, but if you're according to a faith-based system, you can. Or the same cult that says we have to stop burning carbon emissions in the United States, even as we shift those same carbon emissions to China in the name of stopping global warming. Again, those two things don't make sense at the same time. Or that we're against carbon emissions, but we're also against nuclear energy, the best known form of carbon-free energy production known to man. These things don't make sense if you're applying frames of logic. But they do if you recognize this is a cult-like belief system. So there's two things. One is that constitutes civil rights violations on numerous levels. The prohibition on discrimination of base of religion stops you from bowing down to any religion, even a secular one. That's exactly what's happening today. In the name of protecting against the tyranny of the majority, we've created a new tyranny of the minority. That's what's going on in America. So there's a lot of policy solutions, and I've written about this extensively in my books. You know, Woke Inc. was my first book. Nation of Victims was my second book. There's a third book about the ESG movement called Capitalist Punishment that I wrote about. They're not normal candidate books, I'll promise you that, for better or worse. Long before I knew I was running for president. But implementing a lot of that is half the job of the next U.S. president, but that's just half the job. I think the other half of the job of the U.S. president is to revive our national character, who we really are. You know, it's funny, Reagan, when he left office in January of 1989 in his farewell speech, and I like farewell speeches much more than I like inauguration speeches, because farewell speeches is where they tell you the truth, what they actually did, not what they're going to do. Of all the things he could have chosen to say that he was proud of, bringing us to the near end of the Cold War, getting us out of stagflation, growing the economy, he didn't pick any of that. He said the thing he was most proud of was reviving our national character. I think that's probably the more important half of the job of the next U.S. president. I'm all in for the America First agenda. I'm an America First conservative. I believe my moral duty as your next president is to you, the citizens of this country, not any other one. But to put America first, we are at a place where we now have to rediscover what America is. What does it mean to be American today? Young people are lost. All of us are lost, hungering for purpose and meaning and identity. At a time in our history when the things that used to fill that void, faith, patriotism, hard work, family, these things have disappeared. That leaves a moral vacuum in our heart. And when you have a vacuum that runs that deep, that's when the poison fills the void. And pick your favorite one: wokeism, transgenderism, climatism, COVIDism, depression, anxiety, fentanyl, suicide. It's not a coincidence that you see these poisons at the same time. They're symptoms of a deeper void of purpose and meaning. And part of the job of the next U.S. president is to give us our sense of what this flag represents again. We hunger to be part of something bigger than ourselves, yet we can't even answer what it means to be an American. That's part of what we long for in a U.S. president, need in a U.S. president as well. So the standard I want you to hold me to, and it's a high standard, I think it's the highest possible standard you could hold me to, it's one where we can all look our kids in the eye and tell them in good conscience and mean it. Kids know when you're lying to them. Actually mean it. When you say, I want you to grow up and be like him, whoever that is in the White House. Be like them. We're doing this as a family, Apoorv and I both. That's the standard we're going to hold ourselves to. So half the job is shutting down the deep state, declaring independence from China, keeping us out of World War III, growing this economy, securing our border. Those things I can do as your commander-in-chief, much of it even without asking Congress for permission, moving our military to the southern border. I do that as commander-in-chief. All that. But the other half of the job is reviving our national character. And I'm in this because I think it's going to take somebody from the next generation with fresh legs to reach and lead the new generation of Americans. And I believe I can do that in a way that nobody else in this race can. And we're not going to stop until we achieve that over the next 8 years. Thank you for that question. Did you have one?
Trump got in there, he did all these executive orders, but you saw all the opposition. Yeah. And I'm just wondering how you're going to be able to handle the opposition of all those oldies that are in there and, you know, the other party and...
Totally, in our own.
So kind of what I said to you, what was your name, man? Kind of what I began to say to AJ. You strike the swamp strikes back, no doubt about it. Right? He went in to drain the swamp came back, tried to drain him, and may have succeeded in some measure in doing it mutually. But it's like what I told AJ. You got to know the law and the Constitution yourself and be guided by it. Otherwise, you're going to be duped. You're going to be swallowed by the monster you're going in to slay. And I think it takes both of those things. And I think that I think it's been a long time since we've had a president who's sworn oath to the Constitution who's actually read it. I don't mean that facetiously. I mean that literally. And I think it takes somebody to say, I don't need to reinvent the ideals every day, because if you're doing that, you're not going to be able to execute at the same time. Our founding fathers gave us those ideals. They're enshrined in the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution. That's my North Star. If you're guided by that, then you know what? They can sue me. We'll go to the Supreme Court. I win 6-3 right now. And that's in part because I give Trump a lot of credit for giving us a good Supreme Court. But it takes a president who not only is going to break the glass, but who knows and understands what they're fighting for, understands the Constitution when you swear an oath to it. And I think I'm not going to make it as easy for them to then come for me as Trump did. I'm not saying they're not going to. Of course they will. We're ready for it. And you know what? 8 years from now, I'll be ready to drop the mic and pass it on to somebody else. So Trump started in 2016. That's great. He did what he was going to do. I give him credit for it. I recognize his accomplishments more than anybody else who's running in this race. But we're now going to build on that and take it to the next level. I do think it's going to take those fresh legs to do this. We're in the middle of a war in this country. A war for who we are, between those of us who love the United States of America and those who hate this country, and they both exist. Between the managerial class and that swamp of a deep state and the everyday citizen. And when you're in the middle of a war, if you want a commander-in-chief to lead you to victory in that war, I think we're best served by somebody who has not yet been wounded in that war. Somebody with fresh legs, somebody with the actual capacity to reach the next generation and stand for the next 8 years to withstand the barrage that's coming. I'm not going to make it as easy for them as Trump did, and I'm going to stand more firmly by the Constitution because of my understanding of it. And that combination is what it's going to take to get this job done, and I'm also going to pick up where he left off. I have a head start that he didn't have, a great Supreme Court that agrees with us. Great. You know what happens? We then get sued. We'll go to the Supreme Court and win. The next president who comes after me isn't going to have his hands tied in the same way. That's how we each drive change on the time scale of history. But right now, I am best positioned to take that America First agenda, to take the agenda of shutting down that deep state. I'm now best positioned to take that further than anybody else in this race is. And I'm in this because I honestly believe I am the best chance that we have. And using the skills that I've been given, the experiences I've had, I've taken on the bureaucracy of Big Pharma to develop 5 FDA-approved medicines, cutting through a lot of bureaucracy, calling the bluff of an entire industry that's corrupt and coordinates its own behaviors. Yes, I've done that and succeeded in my 20s. I built the leading anti-ESG asset manager to BlackRock, State Street, and Vanguard in the form of Strive. We crossed $1 billion in assets under management within a year of launching my first fund. That's twice as fast as it took J.P. Morgan to get to the same place when they entered the same line of business. So my whole career is I take on bureaucracies and we succeed. Now we're taking on the biggest bureaucracy of all, the one in the federal government. If somebody from existing government was going to get that job done, we wouldn't be where we are. So yes, I do think it's going to take someone from the outside. You get to be an outsider once, and I'm the outsider in this race, and one who has a deep understanding of the Constitution to actually see this through. I appreciate the question. Thank you very much. Last one to you, sir.
So we've touched on it a little bit. First of all, I want to applaud you for your efforts getting to all these counties. It's a magnificent effort.
Thank you, man.
For that.
We're doing all 99 twice over.
Yeah.
In the next couple weeks. Yeah. Thank you.
So we talked about it a little bit, but I'll just say the, I'll call it the Unit Party.
Oh, yeah. Both of which want to send your kids to die so they can buy a bigger house. It's effectively what's, yeah.
Bad deal. But that's the reality of what you're going to have to deal with.
Yep.
I guess, how, so if you're surrounded by that in the houses of Congress and the other things, your hands are tied to the tree with what you can get accomplished in some, I guess that's my question. How do you balance?
Yes, it's a great question. So one thing is for Congress, we want term limits. How are we going to get to term limits? I'd at least grandfather in the people who are already there. And say, all right, fine, they don't affect you, but whoever comes after you. So that's how you get term limits in Congress. But the good news is the things I have promised you, shutting down the deep state, 75% headcount reduction. I mean, that's a big part of this. First month, cut half the employees. You can do that by mass firings, using the existing laws to do it. The U.S., and this is where they duped Trump. The president has the power to do this. Article 2 of the Constitution says there's one executive branch. Vested the power of it in a U.S. president. Supreme Court agrees with me, but the swamp class advisors will tell you, oh, wait, I don't think you can do that. No, read the law, state of the Constitution. If you think I'm wrong, sue me, we go to the Supreme Court, we win. It takes somebody with a spine of steel to see that through. 75%, 3 out of 4 people working in the federal bureaucracy aren't there by the end of my first term. These things, moving our military, I'm the commander-in-chief, I'll station our troops where I believe our troops are best stationed. On our own border, defending our homeland instead of somebody else's homeland, halfway around the world. These are things that the beauty of the moment we live in. I mean, the ugly part of it is the people who we elect to run the government haven't been the ones running the government. But the silver lining in that is that the next president who actually can get this right can get that done without asking Congress for permission or for forgiveness, because the rot is within the executive branch of government itself. That's the beauty of this moment. With the Supreme Court standing at the ready, waiting, agreeing 100% with everything I've just told you. So all it takes is a president who understands the very Constitution he's swearing an oath to. That's what it takes right now. Congress is basically irrelevant. You know, I want a flat tax rate of 12%. You know, there's changes I want to make to fix the inefficiencies of the healthcare bureaucracy, which I understand well, to bring down drug prices and make healthcare more affordable. Actually, we have a sick care system, not even a healthcare system. But I don't talk much about those things only because we're going to get that done in the second year. But in the first year, we're going to get done. Those are the things I get to get done as your next president without asking anybody for permission or for forgiveness. Because there's one executive branch. There aren't 4 branches of government. There's 3. That administrative state, we are going to get in there and shut it down. And I believe we have offered the most comprehensive plan, both based on legal authority and the operation of exactly how we will do it. That's what moves me in this race. You solve that, we're drilling, we're fracking, we're burning coal, we're embracing nuclear energy again. All of those restraints aren't coming from Congress, they're coming from the administrative state. I have the deepest understanding and capacity to actually get that done. All we need to do is get there. That's why I'm here. Here to ask for your help. The Republican Party, the Uniparty, both parties, but including the Uniparty, that is the Republican Party, a subsidiary at times of the Democratic Party. They do not approve of this message. Ronna McDaniel has said, I won't get another penny of funding from the RNC because I criticized the RNC's record of failure. Well, fine. It's not going to stop me from speaking about it. But that means I can't take the traditional path. The super PAC funded TV ads that are flooding your living room or whatever. My family, we're making a huge investment in this and trying to compete as much as we can there. But this is how we're really doing it. This is bottom up. Every one of your votes at the Iowa caucus has the impact of 1 million people in selecting the next president. I'm asking you for a donation, not of your money, but of your time. 15 minutes of your time on January 15th to save this country. I'm asking for a little bit bigger of a donation than that. Between now and then, 15 minutes of your time per week to tell 100 people in this community about what we talked about today, about how you actually drain the swamp, about how you actually shut down the administrative state, about how you actually revive our national character. Tell them about that, bring them too. That's a big impact. If you bring 100 people, it's the equivalent of a massive impact on that ultimate race. That's what I'm asking each of you to do. And if you all do your part, I don't think we have to be that nation in decline anymore. We don't have to be ancient Rome. I think the truth is, as a nation right now, we're really just a little young, actually. Going through our own version of adolescence. Figuring out who we're going to be when we grow up. And when you view it that way, it makes sense again, actually. You go through your adolescence, you go through this identity crisis. You lose your way a little bit, right? You do some stupid things. Most of us probably did. But we are stronger for it when we get to our adulthood on the other side. So no, I don't think we have to be that nation in decline. I think we can still be, and I think this is the last chance I might have to tell you this. I can't tell you this in 4 or 8 years. I can tell you this now. I think we still can be a nation in our ascent. I'm not going to be the guy who walks in here and tells you that it's morning in America, because it's not. But it can be. I'm not going to tell you the American dream is alive and well. It is not. It is alive and hanging on for life support. I couldn't look a young person in the eye and tell you that in good conscience. But it can be. So yes, I'm asking for you to do your part. My team is here. Our colleagues are here. If you give them your basic information, we'll tell you exactly where you need to go. We'll love to have you as precinct captains, volunteers, whatever way you're able to participate in this pro-American movement. If you all do your part, I promise you that my family and I, my wife Apoorva and I, we will do ours to make sure, not in some fake politician kind of way, but just in a true way, make sure that our country's best days are actually still ahead of us. Thank you for coming today, guys. God bless you and your families. And may God bless our United States of America. Thank you. Thank you, guys.